Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Some water. Well, just so you know, my dad is a private investigator, so that's why he's got the serious face. He has like a PR face all the time. So I'm a lot more fun, I think. But it's so wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My turn to thank you. Yeah, we've been friends for a year. Where are the Sri Lankan friends? Are they here? Oh, they were all here. Just one. Oh, there. Okay. But it was so amazing joining the team. I felt so welcome. I was the only English person. I struggled initially. But then after that, I missed Afrikaans. I'm like, where are my Afrikaans friends? So I was just really grateful to be on that trip. And Amo is an amazing leader. I watched how he connected to so many different types of people, business folk, the poor, pastors, students, whoever it may be, his teammates. And he's so honoring and respectful, but he challenges and yet so encouraging. And I've appreciated that so much. I'm learning more about deliverance than I've ever learned from anyone, and I'm grateful for that too. But thank you so much for hosting me in your home. Wow, Cornell is like the real deal as well. She is so incredible. Beautiful couple, inspiring parents, and they've got the best children, and I've just enjoyed it so much. So yeah, it's wonderful to be here. I love George. I'm not going to move here yet though, although I've been encouraged to do so. I actually want to give you a short testimony, which Amo actually encouraged me to do, just with regards to my dad. I shared this on Friday night with some of the youth and the youth leaders, that my dad and my mum were involved with a very charismatic church in Durban. I'm from Durban. You can hear the accent. Am I speaking too fast? Shall I slow down a bit? Yeah. And in Durban, we were involved in a church that was really seeking the Holy Spirit. And they loved God. They wanted to see healings. They wanted to see people encountered. They were desperate for more. Probably like many of you here, you're hungry for God. I'm hungry for God too. Unfortunately, they got involved, our whole family did, involved in a church that became a cult. So they were deeply disappointed, my dad in particular. Up until 5 weeks ago, he had not stepped into a church. They're 74 and 75. They look good. My dad, actually, I keep praying for him. He survived like 5 heart attacks. Every time something happens, I go and I pray, and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, you're not done yet. You stay here. There's things for you to do. So that's probably why he's saying about the encounters, because he's still going. And he had not stepped into a church, especially with my mum. My mum had been in a church. But God did an amazing thing. I got to preach in Durban, and he came to listen to me. So that was like over 30 to 40 years of not actually being in a church voluntarily. And he sat and he watched the power of God deliver people and heal people. And it was pretty wild that day as well, which is great. I think the Holy Spirit really showed all for him. It was undeniable. He didn't want to move. He sat for like 2 hours fixated, and he'd be like, Denise, on a serious face, that's God. That's the power of God. That's a demon coming out. Denise, my mum's like, yes, John, it's true. Very analytical. And after that, he came to another preaching opportunity I had in my hometown. And each time, he was deeply touched, which is so restorative. But even more amazing is my dad has always loved me, but he has struggled with some things. And he struggled to share his affirmation. And he sent me a WhatsApp after the first preach, and he said, you are amazing. It was so wonderful. I'm 37, and I'd never heard my dad verbalize something like that. And I knew that he loved me. That was just so precious. So that's a testimony, and I want to share that for anyone, firstly, that's been burnt by the church or by leaders, even maybe by business partners. It's irrelevant. People that you trusted and let you down. God can restore your heart. That's important. And for those of you that have had severed relationships, or perhaps relationships that have not always been easy, or there's been a lack of affirmation or connection, I just want to bless you with that testimony, and you can take that to heart. Amen. So I also want Jody to stand up. I'm going to embarrass Jody. Jody, would you stand up? So everyone, I want to introduce you to this young man that deeply impacted me. I spoke at the youth on Friday, and I got to pray for Jody. And the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is I didn't know Jody, but the Holy Spirit showed me his heart. And you know, the Holy Spirit is interested in our hearts. He's not interested in the outward appearance, what we have or what we don't have, or our accolades. He's actually really disinterested in that. He's interested in a pure heart and a heart that hungers after him. And Jody, I want to honor you in front of this whole church. You are so precious. And God showed me your heart, and it moved me to the core. It moved me to a place where I'm like, God, would you teach me how to be honorable and noble like Jody? Would you give me the same hunger like Jody? And I honor you for your sacrifice and being involved in this community. And I want to say, community, look out for this young man. Bless him, get behind him, support him, involve him. Make him your brother, your son, because he is an amazing young man and God's got good things for him. Bless you, Jody. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's just honor Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you see so much deeper. Jesus, I honor you. We turn our affection to you. We turn our all our affection to you, Jesus. Thank you for the angels that you have sent shoulder to shoulder around this entire room. I just take authority in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, that all our affection is for you, and that which is trying to distract, that which has been on the altar, the carnal desires, whatever it may be, the things that are pulling in different directions. God, we just thank you that you have authority over that by the blood of the Lamb, and we honor you, Jesus. All our affection is unto you, and we say, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. We yield to you because we actually want you. We want our hearts to be pierced by you. We want our hearts to be pure. We want our hearts to be cultivated in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. I honor you. Amen. So God reminded me of an amazing story in Acts. And I love the story because it kind of blows our grid a little bit. And I love that. I love that when we discover something about God that is different to what we would have thought God would do or be like. Because sometimes we have a perspective of God and it's little. It's a small box. And if we have a small box idea of God, that means that we are in that small box. God doesn't put a small box around you. You put him in the small box and climb in with it. So in this story, it's so exquisite because God kind of flipped things upside down. And I like that. I like it when he encounters people and challenges people. And I like that in Acts, there's some really way out things that are happening here with Cornelius. Way out. And I read it and I'm like, wow. Imagine if that happened to us, one of us. Firstly, would I even believe me, or would I believe the other person if they had to tell me what God did? And then further to that, God not only encounters someone, but then he leads people on this faith journey, not just one, a few, and they converge. And then there's this moment, and the moment is probably the most important part that I want to speak about. But I want you to see what is happening, and I want you to say, if God did it then, can do it now. We are living by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is able to speak and encounter us. And for some of you, he wants to break the small box because it's way more fun. It's way more precious when you are able to say, yes, yes, Jesus, however you want. So I'm not going to read all of it because it's quite long, but it's in Acts 10. And it's about Cornelius calling Peter. Now, Cornelius was this amazing man, very revered, especially by the Jewish people. He loved the poor. He was a leader in the community. So already we can think of someone that, you know, we know like an armor that we look up to in the community. Except this man knew God in a different way. He was under the Jewish law, and he was excellent in what he did.
You know those people that are really good? They just seem to like tick boxes and have it all together. He was that man. And he was wonderful. But God appears to him. An angel arrives. Okay, now who's had an angel appear to them? Some of you. You don't have to share. But how many of you would love an angel of God to just be like, hello, Cornelius. Yes, Susie. I'd be like, oh. Really? Like, this stuff is exciting. You don't read about this stuff really in other religions. Or even if you do, it kind of stops there, you know, especially with the main guru still buried in the ground. That's an important point. We don't have Jesus in a grave. All the other religions do. So we have this angel that appears to Cornelius, knows him by name, and starts to speak to him and gives him some instructions. And basically says, you need to find this man, Peter. Now this guy, now you must remember, like, there's no like WhatsApp. There's no like jump in your car. Everything's like, you know, there's a lot of faith going on here. You can't just check up, hey, is there a guy by the name of Simon, they call Peter, and he's living with Simon the Tanner, you know, like somewhere down there. Like, can someone hook me up? Can my network just confirm? None of that. He was basing it pure on this angel appearing to him. Okay, so we're going to go to Acts 10, verse 9. Okay, so we've understand that God has encountered Cornelius. This is one man on one side of the picture. Now, Peter, in another place, has a vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Don't you love that? Just before lunch. Boom, in a trance. I'm like, that's so wonderful. It's so normal. I mean, how many of us are like, we love to eat. We're just going to, you know, go on the roof and have a prayer, and then we go into a trance. A trance. Anyone else finding this amazing? This is in the Bible. This is available to us. And then in this trance, God shows him a vision. And for some of you, I'm just going to try encapsulate it so that we don't have to spend too much time focusing on it. But he says, basically, whatever you kill, you can eat. But he says this three times. It actually says, this happened three times, which means he probably was like in the trance. God, this can't be you. And so another time, God speaks. Another time, he speaks. And the third time, he's like, okay, maybe I believe you now. Can you believe it? You get caught into a trance, and then you're still struggling. You're still like, I'm not sure I'm understanding this. Why? Because it was challenging a construct that he had. Because he says, surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure and unclean. And the voice of the Lord said to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this was very significant because he was in a space of following religious law, and certain meat you weren't allowed to eat because it was unclean. So now God comes and disrupts him. Because he's got to, like, God says, don't eat this. I don't want to be impure. I'm good standing. I'm following the rules. I'm doing well. I'm an honorable member of my community. People look up to me. And then God says, no, you should eat meat. And all the South Africans said, amen. So he gets these orders in a trance of which he struggled with, like three times over. He's like, no, Lord, I mean, I'm not going to do that. God, I'm not going to defile you and eat. And that he's in the trance. God's like, hello, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. What I have made clean. Some of you also need to know that there are things or rules or laws that you still get stuck on. And you're not appropriating the blood of Jesus. You're not appropriating what God has said about being clean by the power of his name and by the power of his spoken word. There's sometimes the intention of God that we miss because we've thought, no, it must be better this way and it's more acceptable or pleasing to God or it's good this way. And that sometimes keeps us in a place of limitation, or it keeps us in a place of religion where we're trying to do something that maybe once worked with God or with your husband or your wife or your children or your business. But God is saying, come to me and be clean. Because what God touches, he changes, and he has a different lens on it. And the same is with the people that we encounter, the people in your business space. God can come and transform them and touch them and clean them, and no longer are they to be avoided. And I feel this so strongly, that God is changing a grid in our mind about what he is firstly capable of doing, of how he can speak and encounter, and how he wants to change maybe some of the mentalities we've had about him, a legalistic perspective. But he also wants to encourage us. What he makes clean is clean, and for us to participate in. He's more interested in our freedom than us trying to get things right all the time. So this man, who is very honorable and noble, finally gets it that he is now to meet Peter. And Peter finally gets it that he is able to break some of the rules. Because now he had walked with Jesus. And they had, you know, they're like, I must honor Jesus in this way. And now Jesus is saying, hey, this is okay. And now I want these two people to meet. So this is also amazing. So we have an angel appearing, speaking, Cornelius, and he's never really encountered this before. Then you have Peter, who's walked with Jesus, and Jesus challenges him and flips something that is totally different, and he can't believe it, and he's in a trance. Now they're called to meet each other. Let's remember, they're in different places. No cell phone reception, nothing. So we move down further in the story. And I really want to encourage you to read the whole story, because it's juicy. It's really delicious. So the verse 34, Peter starts to speak because he arrives at Cornelius' house. Cornelius is like, oh, I heard you were coming. So there's this fusion. And Peter starts to speak about his encounter with Jesus and how amazing it was walking with him and the blood of the Lamb, and shares the gospel. And now you must remember that Cornelius was Jewish and Peter represented a Gentile. So the people that were not of the promise but got born again because of the release of the gospel. So there's two different groups. They don't normally merge. And maybe in South Africa as well, we have that too. Different church streams, different racial groups, different economic lines, different types of business. They don't normally merge, but God is speaking to both of them and appearing in different forms and challenging them on both the ways they do things. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what God is intending to show you. So then we go down. So he's preaching to them. And he says, we are witnesses of everything he did. This is Jesus in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, and on the third day caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses from God who he had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And further carries on. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, Peter is preaching, he's speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. This seems against the rules, everyone. Is this really God? The Jews received the Holy Spirit. To the Gentiles, that was super offensive. That was like, oh, Holy Spirit, I think you missed something. I'm not sure that was an accident, you know. Is this really happening? The Gentiles were a bit offended by that too. They're like, is that it's a Jew. The Holy Spirit's coming on him. Like, how come the Holy Spirit's on him? But that can't be. Is that, do you think that's right? Do you think this is God? Is this God? I don't know. I'm not sure about this. But hey.
Does that seem familiar in your own heart? It's so great to judge. It's so easy, hey? It feels good. You, like, feel superior. You're like, I know stuff.
But the interesting thing, the story starts off, and I'm probably not doing the best job because I don't want to read it, like a whole long chapter of Acts to honor the time. But God messes with both sides, and he flips things up a little bit. But he encounters them. It's like not mistakable. An angel appears, and the other one goes into a trance. And then the Holy Spirit falls, sovereignly, divine intervention, because the gospel is being preached. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing. I get so excited because it's the possibility of what we can experience. It's the possibility of how God can change us. It's a possibility of the things that he wants to flip upside down because he's okay with it. And do you know that between Acts 2 to Acts 10, there's like a 10-year difference. So we read Acts, but we're not recognizing that it took a long time for people to change. And even after this, between Acts 10 to Acts 15, it was like almost 20 years, I stand to be corrected, maybe less, but 20 years for them to make the shift to be like, oh, okay, like it's actually all right that we can eat whatever and that the Jews can actually experience the Holy Spirit and they can be baptized. That's a long time for change. It's a bit like South Africa. Yeah?
Yeah, I went there. I went there.
Yeah. It's good. We need to go there. I mean, it's, yeah, it's right here. So the Holy Spirit came and all who heard the message. When the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit comes. When the gospel is preached to the people that may be the people that are the reprobates of society or those, like, I don't know, business hoarders who are in inappropriate industries, or when the gospel is preached to whoever, the Holy Spirit will come because the gospel is the intercession of Jesus now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for the people that don't know him yet. So when you go to whoever, because anyone can hear the gospel, that's what God is saying. And then they can be made clean by the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection life of his gospel. The circumcised believers who came with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." I even like that because, you know, like you're supposed to go to some sort of like class and you get born again or someone preaches the gospel and then you're supposed to get baptized and then you kind of like for a while you hang around and you know you serve in the church or something until you kind of get there, or you know what I mean, there's like some sort of like a thing, like a little track you go on, you know, choo-choo, and then you reach like one destination and then you're supposed to receive the Holy Spirit like somewhere down here because then you're like a better Christian or something. No, he makes you clean and the Holy Spirit falls on you because of the gospel. It's the gospel. It's not because you are getting through little steps and doing so well. You watch what God wants to do in the church. He's going to flip things upside down and little programs and whatever. He loves all of that, but don't be so narrow-minded in a small box that God can't meet your business partner in the cubicle next to you or the gym person, whoever, when you preach the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit comes on them, you may be offended when people get delivered and saved, born again, and start running harder and faster and seeing miracles and signs and wonders. You may get offended when the church down the road or those Orthodox people, like surely they don't really have the truth, or even the Catholics. You may get very offended when the power of God and the love of God and the Holy Spirit starts moving through people. It may not always look what we think it looks like, but God is into transformation. God is into flipping and moving things around because He wants you. He wants you. He wants to appear to you in a trance. He wants angels to encounter you, and He wants the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And sometimes we need to put aside our judgments or the things that we have learned to be what we hold on to because it's tradition and it's culture, and that's how God once moved, or that's how, like, this is how we're supposed to do it, you know? I'm not sure you're ready for the power of the Holy Spirit yet. You have not been water baptized. I'm like, does it matter? All of them together. Yay! And not saying that if you did follow that order, there's anything wrong. No, that's great as well. No problem. But we need to put aside some of our frameworks that are limiting God. Wow. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked Peter to stay with him for a few days. And so he starts to pour into their lives, and Acts continues, and actually persecution breaks up because Stephen gets martyred. And there's a whole lot of Christians that needed the Holy Spirit. They need the power of the Holy Spirit, because when persecution comes against you, there needs to be a substance of God inside of you. Because then you're going to be asked, what distinguishes you? What defines you? And in that culture, there was so much that was raging around them that was so different to following the way and following Jesus. So I felt the Holy Spirit remind me of that, because He wants to do something with this church. And He said to me, it's going to double up and double up and double up. And I believe that. And I believe over this church that there's a doubling up of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, as in there's an acceleration. Because it's been too long. It's been too long where there's been divides, or there's been resistance or judgment, or like, let's just stay this way because it's safe and it's good and this is surely God. He wants to encounter you in ways that you have not known before. And He wants to invite you into that. He's never forcing something on you, but He may just come anyway. The Holy Spirit fell on all of them with their different beliefs. Some of them obviously didn't believe that the Holy Spirit could touch them, which I love too. It'll just come anyway. Some of you think, like, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. I just need faith. I just need more faith. Even that, I feel like God is challenging, because there's a mentality in that. There's a smallness in that where you're trying to perform with your faith. Even that, you need to believe on the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to believe that there is an empty grave and that other religions have graves that are filled. You need to see how you're distinguished and how powerful the blood of the Lamb is to set you free. And that's where the faith comes from. It's also a gift from God. Do you know that being holy is a gift from God too? If you're going to just try be holy and try be pure and all of these things, you're missing the purpose of the gospel that He is giving to you so freely. Everything is a gift, and the more you see it's a gift, the more you receive it as a gift, the more you're going to see the Holy Spirit come on all with ease. And you know what? You're not going to judge. You're going to be so happy. You're going to be so thrilled when that person is going up in a trance. You're going to be so thrilled when people are getting set free and getting favored and their businesses are booming. You're going to be so thrilled when the kingdom of God is coming through a young girl or a young boy where they preach the gospel and signs and wonders break out at school. You're going to be thrilled. You're not going to be like, but they haven't been water baptized yet. This is not right. Can all of us just go like this, judgment, and throw it away? Judgment, throw it away. It's so refreshing. It's hard to stay judgmental too. I feel like it's more work to stay judgmental. in Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4:14, Jesus, the great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, if God is so kind in coming to Cornelius and coming to Peter and showing his heart and showing his will and giving them both very clear directions and connecting them, if God is so amazing in that way, why can't he do that for us as well? We forget that he's so deeply personal and he's so interested, but so often what we miss is that he's a perfect high priest that understands us. Because when we sin or when we fall short, or we just, whatever it may be, we put God in a small box, but outside of us, on the outside. Because we're like, you know, I'm missing it now, but I'm going to get there later. I'm gonna get there. There's going to be a process. I'm going to sanctify myself and purify myself. And Jesus is the perfect high priest. He's a perfect high priest that wants to meet with you and speak with you, give you direction. He's the perfect high priest that understands you. He's the one that takes away your sin. You cannot do that. He's the one that makes you clean. He makes you clean because of his blood. As you are, you can encounter him. And for some of you, I also feel like you need to know that. As much as you're like, God, I want to encounter you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to blow my mind and blow my grid. I want it to be new and fresh. I want to see things that I've never seen before in your word or about you. But you have this resistance because you are unaware that you can approach him with full confidence to receive his blood, to receive his understanding and his heart, so that you may be clean, that you may be able to understand more and have insight. That's the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are things that the Holy Spirit can only do. There are places that he wants to take you. There are people that he wants you to connect with. There are encounters that wait for you. It starts off with letting go of judgment. It starts off with receiving what he's actually doing and not saying no, saying yes, okay. And even if you're like Peter and you're like, okay, three times, okay, now I've got it. That's okay. But it needs to come from the foundation of his grace and a foundation that he is a perfect high priest. And he lived like you. He lived like you deliberately. He denied his power as God so that he would live by the power of the Holy Spirit as a demonstration for us. So what does that mean for us? That we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can overcome sin. We can overcome death by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to fear death. I feel like there's one or two people here, you actually fear dying, even though you're a Christian. That is a spirit that must break in the name of Jesus, because there's an assurance of eternal life. There's fearlessness as a Christian because you know that God is at work in you and he's interested in you and he's coming for you. He's going to find you and connect you. And there's some business people here, you also like, how's this going to work out? People with dreams in their heart and callings. How is this going to work out? God, I'm over here and you saying here. Well, if you can do it back then with people in sandals, you're okay. You're fine. You're okay. I want you to be encouraged. There is so much more. And we're going to go into a time of ministry where I just feel like God has given me one or two words for people, but I wanted to lay a foundation. So it was a little bit quick, can read the story. You probably all know the story because you guys are great. You've been like been to Bible school, have water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, solid, like it. And that's what I honor about Shofar Church. So I'm from another church in Cape Town called Journey of Grace. But my whole life, I've known about the Shofar movement as this amazing discipleship movement, almost like militant in how they take ground for Jesus. They are like fearless people that are committed and nonstop. They will like serve God and serve people. And it's so I'm so in awe of it. But at the same time, Shofar can change in how it reaches people, and it can change in how it encounters God, just as my church can, just as whatever movement can. It's actually irrelevant. It's about God. It's about God. Let me just see. Out the box. Yeah. I don't think Holy Spirit is in a box. I feel like he's out the box. Firstly, when God said it's a double up, it's a double up. Everyone say double up. Double up. That's what God is about to do in this church and do in your lives. I've got three testimonies of praying for people that have no twins in their lineage, and they've fallen pregnant after years of barrenness with twins. And I have confidence, anyone who needs to fall pregnant in the name of Jesus, I say that you guys will fall pregnant. I release those testimonies over you. If you don't want twins, that's fine. You don't have to have twins. Maybe you'll get them. I bless whoever wants to fall pregnant in covenant. Just want to preface it. But the thing is, it's been a sign and a wonder for me in my life because it's the impossible. And it's been over WhatsApp. It's been over the phone. It has been proxy. And I mean, it hasn't even been because, you know, I've laid hands on someone. You're not going to get twins, luckily. Well, are you a twin? He's a twin! Amen. Wonderful, double up. You already got it. You need to impart to people. But it's been a sign and a wonder of God's intervention. Where there's been no, doctors have said you're not going to fall pregnant. And it's literally just been the word of God saying, nope, and have two on him. The double up. So take that testimony. Yes, I felt for business. Who are the entrepreneurs in here? And could you please stand up? God spoke to me this afternoon when I was reading this story, and I feel like the story is very much for the entrepreneurs here because God is making these connections that you probably would not have thought. You're like, is this right? Is this like godly to partner with these people? And I actually feel like the Lord wants you to hear him on this. He wants to speak to you about partnership. He wants to speak to you about where you sell, how you sell, what you sell, and what nations you sell in. And you need to be able to hear his word. And it may not look like the best Christian next door that you need to partner up with. God may call you to partner with nations or different people. God may call you to do business in different places because he wants the gospel to be reached in that industry or those people. And so I just have a feeling that the Holy Spirit, and let's just put our hands up because we're asking for the double up. We're asking for the double up where God can offend us with his goodness. God can offend us and intervene in what we do. The consultants here, God's going to connect you with people that you would be like, wow, I don't even know how that happened. It's going to be God. And so, Father, I thank you. And I have such faith in the room. I can feel the gift of faith coming. Wow. Oh, there it is. It's a gift of faith. There's a presence of God that is falling on the entrepreneurs. And I thank you, God, that they would hear and they would know. And who are the consultants here? Specifically, you actually are a consultant. The consultants just, yeah. Is there only one? One consultant? Two? Three? There we go. I feel that I wrote down that there's a grace for consulting in this season. because God is asking you to go to places as a representation of his kingdom. And he wants greater access to come through this church. So I bless the entrepreneurs in this church. I bless the double up. And Lord, I just pray that there's even a doubling up in what people see, like their stock. They're like, but didn't we sell and now it's double? How did that happen? And we're able to sell more. And doubling up on what you normally make in your revenue. Doubling up in, and I don't know how it will look, but I have faith for it. And I have faith for the increase on consulting through this church because God is breaking a limitation off you guys and how you can do work because God wants to speak to you. It's going to be his voice. And Lord, I bless the dreams and the visions and the trances and the angels appearing because God, if that's in your Bible, we thank you that we can have it because you're generous. I bless you guys. Amen. Yeah, be seated. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I felt earlier before I forget, is there a Jacob or a Jacob here? Jacobus. Awesome. Jacob. Okay, we'll stand. I like it. Yeah. I mean, anyone else want to wrestle him for that? Anyone? Anyone? Going? Going? Do you know that once I was in a meeting and I called a birthday and there were like six people. I'm like, what do I do now? And then like the second word of knowledge, the third word of knowledge, and it was all relevant to them. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you're throwing me in the deep end. I was like, bless you all. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. Yeah. Well, we were in the room before praying and this name dropped into my spirit. And I had been feeling about faith and the winds of the Holy Spirit moving on faith and like almost the context of extending your sails as the faith so that God could catch it and take you further. And I don't know if it applies to you, but have you been in a place where you felt stuck, like in the doldrums, where it's just like you haven't felt like there's movement forward? Does that make sense? Yeah. So Lord, wow, such compassion. It's hard when you're in the doldrums, right? You're like, how do we get out of this? Like, God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for your presence. And as a church, we extend our faith and we bless this man. God, we bless this man. And I thank you, God, that it does pertain to business. And we say out the doldrums in the name of Jesus. We speak the wind of the Spirit, the supernatural power of our beautiful Father that blows on your dreams and blows on your business and extends the business. And I thank you, God, that you bless him and you double up, two sales up, double up, double up, double up in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, for a refreshing wind that moves him forward in the name of Jesus. He knows where he's going, but he got stuck. And won't you guys just lay hands on him, this couple in front, just lay hands. God, I thank you for this man and I thank you for the leader that he is. He's a bit like a Cornelius in the Bible. He's a noble man, a respected man. And God, he has a vision to use his business for the oppressed, God. He has a vision to help those who are needed. Breaks his heart, God. You're a man that wants to influence those that are poor. You want to help. And I can see the heart of God. And he's going to blow on it, but he's going to help you to see even deeper into what God sees. Because he's changing a framework on who you're going to influence and how. Thank you, God, for more fresh revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote down that there, I think it's three people, you've been struggling with an autoimmune disease, I think it is. The one I thought it was like neurological. I saw like nerve damage and the other, it's autoimmune, but I think they're connected. Is that anyone here? Anyone has that? Okay. Want to stand? I mean, you may as well take it. Look, I just want to tell you that I like risk and it's okay to fail. So when I fail and I look awkward, that's great because then you can try and then you won't feel as bad. I said this last time when I was here. Like a neuropathy thing. St- Stand up, yeah. Awesome. If there's someone you know, you can stand proxy. You see, break your grid, because we have seen so many healings in Durban with people that have had children with Asperger's get healed just by someone standing proxy for them or sending a WhatsApp. Isn't that amazing? Look what God can do. So in the name of Jesus, we, and as a church, this is not me praying. I'm joining with you and partnering with you for this community to see neurological disorders and autoimmune diseases bow to the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for everyone that is standing proxy, that there's a release right now. We just speak to those people in the name of Jesus, and we command these diseases to bow to the power of the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you can work, God, that you would fall on them, Lord. And I pray for those that are represented here that are struggling with any of those things. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that there would be a release of the healing angels that you send. I thank you, Jesus, that you commission angels of healing that are laying hands on different people in this room. And I bless what you're doing, God, because this is who you are. You are healer and you cannot be anything else. More, Lord, I just ask you, increase it. Let's start to raise our faith. See, God is starting to move, and some of you, I feel like, are like, I'm a bit skeptical. That's okay. But can we start to say, actually, as a whole, all of us, even if you have different theology, even if maybe you've been a little bit disappointed, can we just say, actually, for these people, we hunger for their healing. We hunger for an encounter of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Woo, there's a presence of God I can see all over you. We say more. Let's celebrate this. We want this. We want this. In the name of Jesus. I just want to, have you had a head injury? Whoa. Release them now in the name of Jesus. The fire of God from head to toe. Whoop. New on the inside. New on the inside. Be made clean, body. Be made whole, body. In the name of Jesus. Whoa, there's a fire. Yes. Yay. Oh, we celebrate. Oh, Father, we honor you. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Just, you can sit, but I want you to continue to receive. So what's happening now is we forget that Jesus is interceding for us, right? He's praying. He's praying that we get it. We like get how good he is, how wonderful he is. He's praying that we are opening our hearts. So the Holy Spirit hears the prayers of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's like, yes, I want to make that happen. That was the whole point of Jesus going, because there was only one Jesus. Jesus died, rose again, created a way for us to be regenerated and become the temple and the carrier of the presence, so that there would be more of Christ on display. So the Holy Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit is like, wow. Let's see this happen. Let's see healing happen. Let's see the prophecy happen. Let's see encouragement happen. Jesus is fully praying, and the Holy Spirit is committed. And the Holy Spirit also has angels, lots of angels. So all those demons, and there are those demons, I just say to those demons, right now you are exposed by the blood of the Lamb. Because the Holy Spirit is here, and the fire of the Holy Spirit is here. And we want that. We don't, let's all just say, we want the Holy Spirit. We're tired of darkness. Amen. Woo. Woo. I just have a story for you, a quick one before I continue. So I was quite a high achiever, actually a very high achiever throughout most of my life. Smart, together, high responsibility, still good. And I did a lot of things right. Them well, but I'd never used to experience the presence of God. And I tell you this because some of you can identify. I'm sharing whatever I'm sharing, it so that you can be like, okay, I can connect with that. Okay, I'm going to take that. God can do that. And we started having these meetings at our home. I was in a digs with three of us, two other ladies. And we just have worship evenings. We would eat like full on. You guys need to gather. Can I just say this to the church? You guys need to like all get together, all bring food, make a mess, eat, worship, laugh, just talk to each other, just all get together.
Like, who cares if you don't really know each other? You will, and you'll love each other by the end of it. You should do that. Just make it a thing. Because I'm telling you, God came in these meetings. We had over 27 different types of churches that were represented in our home. Some seeker sensitive, some whatever. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit would come. We had no idea what we were doing. This was like 10 years ago. We didn't know about Bethel. We had no like Bethel music or nothing. We had someone playing the guitar who also didn't really know anything, but the power of God would come because firstly there was unity and hunger, physically and spiritually. We ate. It's the most, like, look at Peter. He went up to before lunch and then, I mean, and you know what? I would watch all these people. It was like in my home, and I was praying for people, and they were like flying, getting healed of ovarian cancer and getting the fire of God and prophecy and woo. And I'm like, God, excuse me, I need some, you know? Like, and I got so offended. I got so angry. I'd go to my room, and I'm like, why not me? Pin me to the ground, God. And it didn't happen for ages, you know. And I was a little bit stuck here because I'm a bit analytical and a bit like academic. Although you wouldn't think now, thank God, praise the Jesus. No, there's nothing wrong with academics. It's both and more in the kingdom. But the point was, I felt nothing. So for some of you that are like, I'm not sure about the shaky thing. I know I was there, but then God got a hold of me, and I got smoked to the ground, like on the floor, and I started shaking under the power of God, and my hand was like. And it felt like I was going to combust. Just about did. It was so wonderful. Can I just encourage you? It's wonderful. But on the odd occasion when the increase of the presence happens, I'm like, woo. And my hand starts to go like this. And then, you see, I won this award once. And they called me up and they gave me the mic. And my hand started going like this. Because just before, someone prayed for me. They said, Jesus is giving you balloons. You're going up to the heavens. And I thought, they're so weird. They're so odd. And then I get up on stage, and I'm like, and I couldn't stop it. And then I couldn't stop shaking. And then at one stage, it got so violent. The mic. I could have killed someone. It's dangerous. So I'm just referencing that. It's okay if you want to shake. I'm comfortable. If you're good with it, I'm good with it. Oh, here we go. for those of you who need to, you just feel like, I actually want to let go a little bit. Who are those people? Stand up. Just stand up. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just like, you know, I actually struggle a little bit with this, like, you know, I like things in a box. It's okay. Anyone else? No, you guys, I know there's more because I was one. Thank you. Forget pride. Everyone go like this. Pride. Woo. Judgment and pride. Out. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you love each of us. I think it's not a performance. This has been my favorite saying while I've been in George, and I feel like it's a message in itself. Jesus has told me he is the highest performer. You see, we think we have to try, earn, or perform, or get somewhere. And people tell us this, but we're like, yeah, but we're still trying to perform. Jesus is the highest performer. What he did on the cross was perfect. You cannot outdo it. He is the highest performer. So if you fail in your performance, look to Jesus. If you're brilliant in your performance, he still outperforms you. So look to Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, that you're the highest performer, that we don't have to try hard. We just get to enjoy you. And that what changes us, we get to enjoy you. So I want you to say big, like a, as if you were, you know, like a big funnel. Like, you know when you like trying to get juice into the bottle. And we just say, Holy Spirit, yes. Holy Spirit, yes. I release control and judgment. I release pride, and I receive peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor, someone who's standing, and I want you to lay hands on them, and I want you to say, peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, and start to pray for them. I want you to pray your best prayer over them.